to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 189 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a great weekend. I mean, how could we not have had a great weekend as NASCAR fans? We got five races in over 3 days, and we got our first ever NASCAR triple header at Pocono, of all places. Who would have thought we'd have been able to get three races in at a place that is known for rain and without lights? Not to say it wasn't close. I mean, they were probably about 20 minutes away from having to call it, but we got it in nonetheless. Three races, one day. It was like NASCAR had its own version of Memorial Day. Instead of Monaco in the morning, we had the truck race. Instead of Indy in the afternoon, we had the Xfinity race. And then we capped it off with the Cup race. I mean, what more could we have asked for? We'll get into all that a little bit later on. 4th of July coming up this weekend. You know, so we used to throw this huge block party, basically, at the old house. The city was used to it. They sort of embraced the fireworks. There were four of us that were like kids in a candy store when we went to the fireworks store. And, you know, we may have gone a little overboard. I probably went a little overboard. We had custom mortar boards built. Our grand finale was anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes long, with nine-shot repeaters, cakes, let alone the 200-plus mortars we shoot off beforehand. We did a 50-50 raffle, rented a hot dog machine. Man, we had a ton of fun. Now, the new house, the HOA we're in and the city we're in don't take as kindly to firework displays. But that said, we're still planning on having a small gathering due to COVID still being a thing. But it will be nice to only have to work 4 days this week. Going to crank up the smoker, fill up the coolers, and have a great three-day weekend coming up. Hope you guys are able to kick back, relax, and celebrate our nation's freedom this weekend as well. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Chase Briscoe. Really enjoyed talking to him. Had a great time, so make sure you go check that out. And I saw some of you interact with me and 92.9 WEZQ, The Ticket. I was on this past Monday morning. Had a great time doing that. Looking forward to do that again in a little bit. And it's cool because, it's only been two appearances, but starting to have a little fun banter with the guys and all that. They did not know that I am a New England Patriots fan, being from Michigan, obviously. And one of the really cool things is, you know, it's a radio show. It's a radio station. So they, you know, air promos to promote their show and all that kind of stuff on the station each week. And they cut a promo that they're airing on their station this entire week. And I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. So I'm going to drop that in right now.
Did you catch the morning line on 92.9 The Ticket?
We're talking with Brandon Crowd from the Lap Traffic Podcast, talking NASCAR. And does Cam Newton start any games for the Patriots this year?
Hell yeah, he does. I'm a Lions fan, man. I got to have someone else to root for. The Patriots has been my team since I graduated high school in 2001. So I'm all about the New England Patriots.
That's going to be the best thing in the show.
Listen to the morning line weekdays starting at 6 a.m. on 92.9 The Ticket.
Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Never did I ever think I would be part of a radio promo that aired on a radio station. That's just absolutely awesome. So can't wait to be back on with Wayne in who knows? Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it'll be the week after. But make sure you stay tuned to Twitter and all that. I'll keep you up to date when I'm going to be on there. It's just so much fun. All right. Tonight, though, great show. Stack show lined up for you guys. Greg from Off Access Paint's going to be on in just a minute. And local Michigan speed painter, that's a little bit of a tongue twister, Dave Santia is going to be on. He does awesome work. He does a lot of work with charities, and he did an awesome painting of Dale Sr. That NBC picked up on and all that kind of stuff. So figured we'd dedicate tonight's show to the painters. So let's have some fun with that. Got your Pocono recap, social media. Aaron will be on for the weather. Lucky dog lap down picks. And who started off segment two of the Lap Traffic Fantasy on the right foot? It might surprise you. All right, let's get things going. Let's get Greg from Off Access Paint on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, he is the owner of Off Access Paint, who has done some of the incredible custom helmets worn by your favorite drivers. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Greg from Off Access Paint. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate the intro, and I'm pumped to be a first-time caller on here.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you. I mean, never in my wildest dreams did I think I was going to be able to do a show focused around paint, and I've got you on tonight along with Michigan local speed painter Dave Santia coming up later. So,
way cool.
I'm excited to talk some painting.
Let's do it, man, for sure.
So let's get to know you a little bit. Let's get to learn about Off Access Paint. We'll throw some NASCAR stuff in there while we're at it. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into NASCAR? Your artistry background, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'll give you the short of it. So I'm from the Midwest, from Missouri. So there's a lot of dirt racing there, not much asphalt. So I was extremely blessed to have a really cool art teacher back in high school that he loved racing as well, and kind of, you know, introduced me to this thing called an airbrush. And he always just kind of had little projects going, little side projects, painting helmets for local guys. And I was like, man, that looks awesome. You know, it looks way cool. So I just kind of cut my teeth in that and painted for a couple local guys and started traveling with a dirt team, right out of high school, and getting to know some national guys, which led to, you know, getting to know a couple ARCA drivers, truck guys, and then all the way to Cup. And I eventually just said, hey, this hobby is going a little bit too big. I need to move to North Carolina and be in the middle of it. So I packed up a U-Haul about 7 or 8 years ago and moved out here to Mooresville, North Carolina. And the rest is history, man. It's just once you get here, you're in it. And it's just been nonstop ever since we've opened the doors here.
That is absolutely incredible. So wife, married, kids, girlfriend, like just you moving in the U-Haul, or did you like uproot a family and all that too?
No, it was really easy when I was in Missouri. It was just me. So I threw my own stuff in the U-Haul. I think I had more paint stuff in the U-Haul than anything, maybe just like a box of clothes and, you know, a couple boxes of paint and a buddy of mine let me use a storage unit for a while just to kind of get my, you know, my feet wet and I was just off and running. So, the people I've met in this industry have been a huge help. Like JJ Yaley, he was instrumental when I was first starting out. Justin Allgaier, which I had known from, you know, being in the Midwest coming up dirt racing.
Sure.
I had a lot of really good friends that really helped me out when I first started.
That's absolutely incredible. And just, you know, 7, 8 years into it, that's absolutely crazy. Did you go to any, like, you know, art school, anything like that? Or is this just been like all God-given natural talent and here you are?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I never went to like a college for art. Like I said, I had a really, really good art teacher in high school that basically taught at a college level. And then my right-hand man here in the shop, Noel McEwen, we're actually from the same high school in Missouri, and he comes out here and helps me. So having him as a mentor and having a great art teacher, it was just like catching lightning in a bottle for me, man. All I had to do was kind of make a business around it and marry the two loves of art and racing together. It's a perfect chemistry of never having to actually clock into a real job every day. So I love every day of working, and we work super late hours. We start early in the morning, but we'll work till 2 a.m. on projects. And that's just because we love it. You know, it's,
sure,
it's everyone in the shop truly loves what they're doing. And when you do that, you'll never work a day in your life.
I listen, like if Kevin Harvick reached out to me and is like, dude, I want to do an interview for your show, but I can only do it at like 3 a.m. I would get up happily at 3 o'clock in the morning. If the job that actually pays the bills so that I can do this podcast for a hobby was like, hey, can you get up at 3 a.m? I don't know I'd have that same response for them. So yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there. 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
It started out just you and all that, how many employees has it grown to? Like, you know, how big has it gotten over this last 7 years?
Well, right now with the whole COVID thing, yes, we're a little under. We kind of keep it to a minimum in the shop, but
sure,
we have about five of us, and what's cool about our shop is that between all of us, you know, there's not something we can't tackle. There's never been a driver come with us an idea and, you know, one of us not be able to take it. So we all have like our strengths. Mike and Ryan are both great artists I have in there. And the other part is just having that group of artists instead of just one person working on all these helmets is you can bounce ideas off of each other, or we're always trying to top each other. And you get some really great artwork with that kind of atmosphere in the shop.
Sure, sure. So growing up Missouri, all that, you know, you got to know Justin a little bit. We'll get to him in a little bit because there's a cool story around Justin Allgaier there. But, you know, did you have a favorite NASCAR driver growing up? Do you have one now? Did you get to many NASCAR races? Did the work keep you in the shop? Like, how involved are you in the actual consumption of the sport?
Well, up until this year, I travel quite a bit. I think I've spent my last, you know, 10 years of my life being on the road. So, being home on the weekend right now and having a lot of, chores to do around the house is definitely different for me.
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those guys that wants to be right there in the middle of it and dropping off the helmet at the racetrack and seeing it, you know, go to the right customer or meeting, you know, the CEOs of these companies that we're working for. Cause, you know, in the end, we're advertising their brand on these helmets, you know, with the driver's personal twist to it. So the more I can know these companies and know what they like and know the drivers, the better I can do my job, you know, and the better I can train my team to, you know, take on these different projects. So I'm very hands-on, which is why we're in Mooresville. And,
sure.
I try to be around it as much as possible. So, but growing up, I watched a lot of dirt racing, man. My earliest childhood memories are at a dirt track watching dirt late models in the Midwest. So I didn't watch a ton of NASCAR until, you know, probably maybe like 16 or 18. And that's when I really started getting more into it. But I'd always known, you know, Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, you know, those guys were household names.
Sure.
But honestly, I love dirt racing, and that's the only one bummer about moving out here. There's not a lot of dirt tracks in North Carolina.
Sure.
It's all asphalt racing
yeah,
out here.
Absolutely.
So if there's one setback, it's that.
Sure. I'm going to use this analogy. You tell me if I'm right or wrong with this. So, like, the custom NASCAR helmet industry is kind of really taken off over the last few years. You probably got into it, you know, right as it was taken off, which really helped. So is it fair to say that the NASCAR custom helmet is to hockey's, you know, personal goalie mask?
Yeah, absolutely. It's I always tell people it's like a goalie with the painted mask. It's like a first baseman with their mitt. I mean, it's them, you know, like that's their personality and that's their calling card is their helmet. You know, that's what you see more than anything when they're inside the car. You can't really tell, you know, more so an open wheel racing or motocross, but, it's definitely something that they want to make sure it stands out and make sure it screams, you know, who they are.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely. What you kind of mentioned a little bit as far as, you know, meeting with like the CEOs of companies and stuff like that, you know, what do you know what the like approval process is like for the driver that wants one? You know, I imagine, you know, they've got it, you know, if they want it 100% custom to just themselves, you know, the sponsor's got to be okay with that because then their logo's not plastered on it, you know. So what actually goes in and getting the okay to get a custom helmet?
Honestly, it's a lot different for a lot of different teams. And that's one hard part about, you know, being myself and working with every team. We're pretty much in every team in NASCAR Xfinity, in the Cup and trucks. We have at least one of their drivers basically. So, all the processes are a little different. Sometimes you just work directly with the driver and they'll actually come in the shop and they'll give me ideas and show me this. And they give me the green light and the thumbs up. Sometimes it has to go through the team, through the PR managers, all the way back to the company, and you know who knows who's working in their art department that thinks
sure.
they can paint helmets that week. So sometimes it's instant; you get an okay in 5 minutes, like today, and sometimes it takes 2 weeks. So it really just depends on who you're working for.
That's crazy. So all right, how long does it take to maybe go into like? Corporate stuff aside to the actual design and like producing and having the finished project?
Yeah, good question, man. So most of the time when we get the actual helmet, it's just the shell. It doesn't have the padding or any of the safety stuff in it. It's just a raw carbon shell or composite. From there, we'll print out the renderings that we've got approved, and then it's usually somewhere between 30 to 40 hours sometimes. And you know, like the one I just did for Corey LaJoy. I spent over a week on that thing, you know, for that copper penny look.
Okay.
So it just really depends. You know, if it's something, you know, blessing and curse of being right here in Mooresville, sometimes you get a call on Tuesday night that a sponsor just signed and they're going to race, you know, on Saturday. So we have to knock that stuff out super quick. And if it's something like that, then it's all nighters and whatever we can do to make it done. But usually about 30 to 40 hours is about minimum or about average.
That's cool. I imagine people probably reach out to you to see if they can buy replicas of the helmets that you've done for their favorite driver.
Yeah, well, quite a few. And again, the whole process on that just kind of depends. You know, the big cup guys like Martin Truex that we paint for, another company gets those made, you know, in bulk, and there's tons of them. So that's, and they actually take our design, scan it into a computer and make it. Sometimes if it's like, you know, a smaller driver that maybe they have a sponsor and they just want one or two to give to a boss or a CEO, you know, we can knock that stuff out in our shop pretty easily. And that's a lot simpler process. It's not a helmet that's actually going to be worn. You don't have so much safety, you know, red tape around stuff. So it's sure. A lot easier when you do the replica helmets.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you make duplicates like for yourself, for your own personal collection, to kind of like to show off and have like, hey, I did that kind of thing in a man cave or anything like that?
You know, I did when I first started because I was so pumped on it. And, you know, when this other company makes replicas or I see them online, I'll get one extra to put cool. in my office or something. Yeah. But honestly, we stay so busy with helmets throughout the year. I mean, last year we painted over 300 or 350 helmets wow. last year. You know, so we don't have a whole lot of time to do stuff for ourselves. I think all my guys, there's a cool go-kart track here and we all have our own personal helmets, and usually they're sitting blank on the side because they're, you know, side projects that we can never get to. So we would love to paint our own stuff a little more, but we're just so busy with all the NASCAR stuff. We sure. just can't do it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of, like you said, you've done a lot of work with drivers throughout all three series. One driver in particular is Justin Allgaier. He has you do a custom-built playoff helmet for him each year, and it's very unique as his daughter designs it. Talk us through that process, how long that's been going on, how cool it is to see the mind of a young kid in what they come up with and trying to replicate that into an actual helmet.
Oh, man. Well, I was going to say, it's not Justin ordering it. It's his daughter, Harper, that orders it every year. And I think this is our fourth year maybe doing it. So, you know, when she comes into the shop now, she was this shy, kind of timid girl. I mean, I've known her whole life, but she just didn't really know the process. And she was young. But after we've done it a couple of years, man, she comes in, throws on the paint mask, throws on the gloves, and she's ready to roll. And it's funny. I'll see her throughout the year. And, you know, she'll come over and whisper something in my ear. I want, you know, a unicorn or rainbows or whatever she's got going on. She dreams up this project all year round. So when we sit down to do it, I mean, she is laser focused and ready to paint her dad's helmet for the playoffs every year.
That is adorable. I can only imagine how many coloring books and blank construction sheets of paper she goes through trying. I bet you she like has an elimination process of, you know, quite a handful that she goes through before she comes in and talks with you. That is just awesome.
She's so smart, man. And to see her progress through the years is the coolest thing ever. The year that she told me she wanted a real unicorn horn on the front of the helmet, I almost had to tell her no, but I mean, you can't tell that face no. So so we made it happen, man. So whatever she says goes when that playoff helmet comes up on the order list.
That's awesome. What are some of the more unique or maybe like challenging designs or, you know, characters or, you know, schemes that you've had to come up with? You know, can you drop names and all that kind of stuff or no?
Yeah, I mean, like that one we just painted for LaJoy, that stacking pennies, you know, that's been his motto throughout the whole year of you know, running that 32 car is, you know, gaining a little bit. So we put stacking pennies on there and painted a whole copper helmet. So it's cool when somebody comes with a real idea that's really unique instead of just saying, you know, here's my car. It's black and red and white this week. And here's the logo, you know. So I really like the process of when a driver comes in and taking what they have in their mind and putting it on paper and then making it a real tangible helmet that they can hold in their hand and be proud of. You know, it's cool to see that stuff get posted online and, you know, make it to NBC or Fox or whatever else. But, you know, the other thing is, it's just every driver's a little bit different and getting to know every personality, like I said, has been the coolest part for my job.
That's awesome. Is there like a top five that you've got or anything like that, that you could rattle off?
Oh man. I mean, Harper helmets for sure. I think Christian Eckes has some of the coolest helmets this year. Todd Gilliland. I mean, you can look all those up on our Instagrams. William Byron with the Flames every year. I mean, that's cool to me.
Yeah.
To you know, grow up watching Jeff Gordon and be able to paint an iconic 24 helmet with Flames on it. I mean, that's like one of the coolest things. And I'm not a big Flame guy. But when that helmet comes to the shop every year, it's cool to know you're just kind of adding on to NASCAR history, doing stuff like that. So,
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little current stuff. What did you think of Pocono, the double, the triple header on Sunday this weekend?
I thought it was expensive for a lot of teams.
Got that right. Toyota in particular.
Everyone's saying, you know, trucks need practice and whatever else, and we shouldn't be doing that. But honestly, it's not too far off from last year. So I don't know if practice helps or not. I think these kids in the younger series are ready to roll, and they'll take every inch they can get on the track, you know. So the Cup Stuff, I'm just an expensive race.
Yeah,
people blowing tires.
But
it was cool to see the doubleheader, you know, kind of the way we wanted to see a doubleheader. I think it's going to be really good for a lot of tracks like Pocono going forward.
Absolutely.
You know, to run both those races and run the same car, I didn't think anybody had a huge, you know, big trouble with it. And you know, two different winners. It wasn't like it was just a storybook ending on both days where it was so predictable. So I enjoyed it myself.
Absolutely. All right. You got a pick for the championship? We're halfway through the regular season. Who's your favorite right now?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with the 19. I think 19?
Martin Truex Jr.
I think Martin's going to do it again. I think Harvick will be really good. It just honestly depends. It's going to be a lot different watching that championship at, you know, Phoenix instead of Homestead this year. So I think Martin's got a good shot. I think any Toyota is going to run good at Phoenix, and it'll probably come down to one of those guys. But Martin being team off axis, he's going to be my pick.
Fair enough. I love it. Greg, where can everybody follow Off Axis Paint on social media?
Absolutely. Hit us up at Off Axis Paint. It's just AXIS. And that's the same for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our Instagram is by far the best follow out of those three, because we always do live videos at 2 a.m. painting helmets, and you can kind of get a sneak peek on what's coming up for this week or what we're working on. And we're super like talkative on there. You know, if you comment on something, we'll hit you back. You message us. We're not too good for anybody or anything like that. So definitely we're super interactive. So get on there and hit us up and tell us what you want to see, because I'm glad to show anybody what's going on in the shop.
That's awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Greg for calling into the show tonight. Greg, it was great to talk with you. I think we could do this again and get even more in depth. So let's do this again soon, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Awesome, of course. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, so great to talk with Greg. Can't wait to talk to him again in the near future. It's time to talk a little Pocono. Fair warning, if you haven't put this thing on 1.5 playback, you might want to. I already know this show's going to go a little long. So fair warning, put it on 1.5 if you want to speed things up a little bit. But let's talk Pocono. Let's talk trucks at Pocono. Well, it was the triple header, right? So we started off Sunday morning, breakfast, included a little pancakes with a side of cautions. Lap Traffic Nation, are you kidding me that 29 of 60 laps were run under yellow? Caution is going to be the word of the day. two red flags before stage one even ended. So here's what I'll say for the weekend as a whole. It's such a bummer that the fans couldn't be there. You're going to have three races in one day with a bajillion restarts. How exciting would that have been for fans in person? That place would have been rocking on Sunday. I know I was planning on being there. PETM was planning on being there. I know a lot of you were planning on being there. And that would have been awesome to see in person. That said, the racing itself with the trucks was awesome when they could keep it clean and make it through turn one. And man, did turn one eat everybody up on Sunday. I'll eat some crow, as I made a comment on Twitter Sunday that after the truck race, I thought things wouldn't be as bad for Xfinity and Cup. And yeah, I was wrong. Pretty caution-filled Xfinity and Cup race as well. That said, the 51 truck of at KBM, doesn't matter who wheels that thing. It seems like it goes to victory lane, whether it's Kyle Busch, Greg Biffle, and now Brandon Jones have all seen victory lane in the 51 truck. And man, when you want to talk about bad weekends, did anyone have a worse weekend than Matt Crafton? How horrible for that team to have the race delayed by a day, you know, all those resources to be caught up for an extra day at the track, lap one, turn one, to take you out of the race. Man, that was absolutely brutal. Hope those guys are able to rebound in a couple weeks at Kentucky. And I'm going to wrap up the trucks with this. Lap Traffic alum Tyler Ankrum had one of his best races all year, up front and in the top 10 in both stages, and picked up a top 10, which is awesome. You know, one of the things that I keep forgetting about, and I meant to go back and look, is, you know, they expanded the truck playoffs from 8 drivers to 10 drivers, which I'm pretty sure I went on a lengthy rant on why I absolutely can't stand that decision. But, that's why I'm in my basement right now and not making decisions, more than likely. But that said, it's down to expanded to 10, which means right now we're looking at Austin Hill, Ben Rhodes, Grant Enfinger, Sheldon Creed, Todd Gilliland, Christian Eckes, Zane Smith, Tyler Ankrum, Brett Moffitt, and Johnny Sauter wrap out the top 10. Stuart Friesen's out, Matt Crafton's out, you know, and you might be like, Brandon, why? You said you're not going to talk standings as much as you did last year, and I know that, but I feel like it's important right now, because we're 6 truck races in, which means we're basically, I think, about 10 races to go in the regular season for the truck race there. So I think it's important to do a little reset there, especially because we still only have one truck regular that's running for the truck championship with wins, and that's Grant Enfinger. Now he's not leading the standings like he did for so long last year. So they award playoff points based on standings there. So right now Austin Hill would pick up a few extra ones there. But I don't think it's ever too early to look at the truck standings, because of the fact that there's only 23 total races. So that's not a very long regular season. Anyways, trucks are off for a couple weeks. They'll be back July 11th at Kentucky. All right, let's look at the Xfinity race for lunch. Grilled some brats with a side of cautions. Just as the truck saw 9 cautions, so too did the Xfinity race, for a total of 31 laps. That's 31 of 91. Again, that's just crazy. And how awesome those restarts would have been to see in person. That said, we had some incredible racing at the end of this thing with Briscoe and Chastain. Chastain still looking for his first win of the year. Looked to repeat from last year at Pocono. Almost had it. It would have been fun to smash a few watermelons, but instead, last week's guest on the Lap Traffic podcast, Chase Briscoe, picked up another checkered flag, making it 4 on the year in just 12 races. He's looking to smash his goal of 8 wins this year in the Xfinity Series at the rate he's going. I tell you what, though, it was awesome in my eyes that there were guys out there like Jeremy Clements, who picked up a top 3. Brett Moffitt finished 7th. Timmy Hill, iRacer, right, finished 8th, got a top 10. And BJ picked up a 14th place finish. These are names that you don't expect to be in the top 10 or 15 at a place like Pocono. These are names you might be rattling off at places like Talladega, like last week, if they were lucky enough to survive the big one. So for these guys to be able to work strategy, avoid mayhem in turn one, and get some of these finishes is very impressive, and so awesome for these drivers and teams to be able to walk about after Pocono with a little extra swagger, if you will. Now, while Ross did not pick up the win, he did pick up his back-to-back Dash for Cash win. Wow, say that a few times fast there. Which means Colic, I know it. I know you guys are going to get on me about that at some point. Won 3 of 4 Dash for Cashes. And I think that speaks for itself. Just how incredible that team's doing. Looking forward to the Xfinity Series, who has not run at Indy as much as the Cup team. This is only going to be the 9th race for the Xfinity Series at Indy, but definitely looking forward to them this Saturday. All right, let's talk a little Cup, the double, right? The big double, the one we've all been talking about. Part two on Sunday, dinner, steaks with a side of caution, dash of rain, caution for 32 laps. So we had 9 in the truck, 9 in Xfinity, and 8 in Cup with a total of 92 of 291 laps of the day run under caution. Outside of the truck race, like I said, I expected in Xfinity and Cup to be more like the Saturday Cup race, which only saw 6 for 21. And yeah, I was dead wrong. So here's an interesting note. Only 4 drivers finished in the top 10 in both races. Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, obviously, which I'll get to those two in a minute. Martin Truex Jr., which is no surprise there. But the one other driver that managed back-to-back top 10s in both races, not Kyle Busch, not one of the Penske cars, not one of the HMS cars. It was my man Clint Bowyer with back-to-back top 10s at Pocono this weekend, which I think is awesome. Finally, that team pulling off some finishes we know they're capable of making, and I hope they can carry that momentum going into the summer stretch, the second half of the regular season. Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, they got some badass paint schemes they're going to be running here this weekend. So be very cool. One of those guys got to go to Victory Lane in some 4th of July paint schemes for sure. Race 1, Buescher, McDowell, and Bell had great days picking up top 10s. Race 2 saw more of the usual suspects. But major props to Matt D with a top 10 the second race. I want to talk about Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin here a minute. You know, we've talked about them a lot this year, post return to racing especially. We've talked how these two have some similar career paths. Both have a 500 win. Both have over 40 race wins. The difference being Hamlin's got 3 Daytona 500 wins to Harvick's 1. But Harvick is a crown jewel winner, having won the 500, the 600 Indy, and the Southern 500. And Harvick has a championship. But, you know, Harvick's 5 years older, so he's got 5 more years in the series. Both of these guys have added 1 more win to their win column this past weekend. Harvick now with 52 total, with 3 on the year. Hamlin 41 total, 4 on the year. You know, these two older veterans, obviously, on track right now to make it to the Final Four at this rate. But who's going to join them? You know, that makes it a little tough. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of these two didn't make it to the Final Four. You know, regardless if you like them or not, these two are going out there each week and, you know, putting on a show. These two are obviously going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. And I think you got to give it to them on that. So I look forward to seeing, you know, Harvick, last year's Indy winner. Harvick goes out there and pulls off a win this weekend. Obviously, you guys know I'll be happy. But I just think that would be very impressive for the fact that he's, what, 45, something like that, and going out there and still dominating the series, I think, is incredible. So definitely look forward to seeing who kisses the bricks this Sunday at Indy. All right, a couple questions. I think I just had one question to you guys this week. What did you think overall of the Pocono doubleheader and the triple header on Sunday? You know, there was so much, I'm going to use a cliche word of hoopla around the Pocono double in terms of expectation from fans, the track and NASCAR and all that. You know, did we get it? Did we not? You know, did it impact the fact that we weren't able to have fans there and all that good stuff? Let's see what you guys had to say about that. Matthew at CH9SE Fan Trucks and Xfinity were fantastic. Cup, as usual, was mediocre at best. Cup needs a special package for Indy and Pocono, not a modified Dega package. Yeah, I could see where that might benefit some things there for sure. Daniel at DRyan5962. I thought it was epic. Happy the way NASCAR and Pocono handled it all, especially with Mother Nature. Hope they do a doubleheader again next year. It's definitely something I would want to experience as a race fan. Absolutely. Matt at MattCamper1994. I think this was a great weekend for NASCAR fans, but I think it was very exhausting for the crews and drivers. I think they have to a double like this to shorten the season. It's good for everyone. Looking forward to next year. It was definitely taxing on the crews, I think. Trucks having to get up extra early, and the cup guys having to, make some changes and stuff like that overnight and early into Sunday morning for sure. Gina at Gina Loves JJ48. The idea of the double was good, but four races in 2 days and five if you count ARCA was chancy at best that we saw this past weekend. 3 days in one race was exhausting. Even as a big fan, it was just too much, and I got nothing accomplished all day. Yeah, I am 100% with you there. You know, three races in one day. You know, if you want to sit and watch all that, that is time consuming. You know, so I think that could work on special occasions. You know, like I said at the start of the show, you know, Memorial Day, we get that with, you know, three different forms of racing. You know, for NASCAR to do that, great if you're at the track, because I mean, that's what you're there to do, is watch racing. So who cares when you got to go and do it? But if you're at home, you know, to you know, you got to get the chores done, you got to get the yard work done, you know, you've got a plan to be able to sit in front of the TV and watch three races all weekend. You definitely can't go on a boat or anything like that. So, yeah, definitely taxing for sure. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fan said Cup race should be first Saturday and last on Sunday for the crews. And with that many races in a short amount of time, weather could always screw things up. If they do this in the future on a normal year, no practice and qualifying might be the way to go for time constraints. Yeah, could you imagine if they had practice for all three of those series to get that in, plus those races? I mean, obviously that was the plan, but man, if you were at that track, you were just going to have a buzz in your ear for 72 hours straight for sure. My takeaway is that there is no way this would have been a flop. NASCAR hit it out of the park. They got lucky with weather. That would be the one thing. I love the idea of the double, right? But you're going to try it at a track that, if you just ask an average NASCAR fan where it's going to rain, I think they would say Pocono. That said, slam dunk. I wish fans could have been there to witness the history and all that. And hopefully we're able to make that happen going forward. All right. That's going to do it for some racing talk. Let's get to a little social media. All right. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Giveaways getting closer and closer. About 100 or so away from giving away the T-shirt and hat, and less than 500 away from giving away an actual piece of sheet metal, a full-size rear quarter panel off Eric Almirola's car back from the RPM days. Shout outs to some new followers. Matt Howard at Matty_how, teacher and a football coach. Big fan of Daily Fantasy Sports. Yeah, I'm with you there. Rachel at Rachel_MCD12 from Alabama and is here to talk NASCAR. Well, you have come to the right place. And Jesse at JPunch15, who was on last week with the PETM podcast. So go make sure you check that out. Jesse brought a lot of fun to the show. And a little spoiler teaser here. Speaking of PETM, Sherwin from the PETM podcast going to be on the show from start to finish in a couple weeks here. So definitely looking forward to that. T-shirts, all that good stuff on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. And if you want a free sticker and koozie, all you got to do is fill out the contact page on the website, and I will send one out to you. Put some out in the mail this weekend, last weekend. Keep the pictures coming. Definitely appreciate that. And before we get to Aaron Studwell, I am going to drop in the second interview of the night with Michigan local speed painter Dave Santia. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is a Michigan native, and if you're from Michigan, you've probably seen him at your favorite rock concert at Pint Knob, or you've probably seen him at a local Metro Detroit charity where his paintings have helped to contribute to over $600,000. He was recently featured on a tweet from NASCAR on NBC with his speed painting of Dale Earnhardt. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Dave Santia. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? How are you doing?
I am awesome, man. I'm excited to get to talk to you here. It's been a long time coming. I know I reached out to you early May when things got fired back up. But, man, tonight's show's dedicated to painting. So it's going to be time, man. Yes. Yeah. So how have you been? How's the family, the quarantine, all that kind of stuff? Have you been staying busy, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to do what I can to stay relevant. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, this quarantine, this quarantine's got us all locked indoors, and you know, most of my business, I guess you could say, it has to do with public gatherings.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, so that kind of put a kibosh on things. You know, with this quarantine.
Yeah,
but that's you know. But you know, I try to keep busy because I've been every Wednesday and Saturday I'll go on Facebook with a video feed where I'll do like, you know, three paintings within a half an hour, you know, just to keep me busy, keep me doing something, you know,
keep it until fresh, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to stay rusty.
Yeah,
I don't want to get rusty. So yeah, so I've been doing that.
That's good, man. You know? So where in Michigan are you from exactly?
I'm from Clinton Township. Well, actually, I live in Clinton Township. I'm, you know, the Metro Detroit area, about 30 minutes north of Detroit.
That's awesome. So we're neighbors almost, because I grew up in Warren, lived in Berkeley for 11 years, and just moved back to Warren. So we are
We're
very close. Yes.
I lived in Warren until I was about 10 years old.
No kidding. That's crazy. Yeah. Small world. We'll stick on the line afterwards. We can swap some Warren stories then.
For sure.
Man, so your story will definitely hit home a little bit more for some of the local listeners, but you know, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, your artistry background, and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I've been drawing and painting since I was about 7 years old or so. I pretty much, wherever I went when I was a kid, I always had a pad of paper or sheets of paper and a couple pencils with me. I was always drawing all the time, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, like in, you know, the early 80s. So I was drawing, I don't know, Superman, Batman, Star Wars, stuff that a 7-year-old boy was interested in.
Sure.
And yeah, so then I did it all my life.
Wait, what'd you draw at 13?
That we won't talk about. I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah, no.
It just kind of carried over into my adult years. I mean, I took art, you know, all 4 years in high school, and of course, you know, I went to college for it too. But you know, I was going to college really for graphic design when I really should have been going for you know, painting. You know, what I'm doing now, actually. Because, you know, for me, I just felt graphic design, there was just too many rules, too many, and I just can't, when it comes to art, I just can't stick to rules, you know, so.
Well, yeah, you gotta be free to use the creative process, right? Like, you can't be confined to anything with that.
Right, exactly. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because there isn't, it just wasn't a fit for me. And, so I've been drawing and painting, you know, on the side since then, and I was never really getting anywhere with my artwork. I could never really get anywhere, you know, because it's tough to get somewhere with doing this sort of thing.
Starving artist, right?
Like, of course. That's why, you know, I was skinny all my life, probably because of that. But although this COVID kind of put on some.
My COVID 20 on. You can bank on
yeah. that. I'm still working on trying to get rid of it. But anyways, so where was I? Oh, so then one day, you know, I'm sitting at home. Well, what I used to do was I used to record myself doing a painting. I would set up a camera and then just tie it down, have it sitting there for, you know, the entire time of me doing a painting. And a painting would take me about 30 or 40 hours to do, you know, maybe a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes a couple weeks maybe. And then when I was done, I would take all that footage and I would speed it up into like a 3 or 4 minutes and, you know, time lapse it. And I would stick some music to it and just throw it up on YouTube just for fun, you know. Sure. And I had to have a specially made easel, you know, to rotate at the time.
Say, yeah, I mean, you do this thing like it's upside down, like you flip it over, like the finishing touch, like that's pretty cool, man.
Thank you. And well. Not long after I started uploading these videos to Facebook and YouTube, a friend of mine, my friend Ron, calls me up and he said, "Hey, Dave, you know, I've been watching those videos of you doing this speed painting. They're amazing. You know, within minutes, you've got a painting done of Kid Rock or, you know, whoever, Jimi Hendrix." And, you know, thanks, you know, what's up, Ron? And he'd be like, he said to me, how about, you know, I'm doing a fundraiser and I'd like you to come on out and do a couple of these paintings and we can auction them off. And immediately I said no.
Okay.
I was scared. I was nervous. And eventually he twisted my arm and he convinced me.
So you've done some incredible work with local charities like Gilda's, Children's Leukemia Foundation, Courage House. Do you, now that you've been doing this for so long, do you have a special charity or a special cause that draws you, like you'll clear your calendar for this type of an event or anything like that?
There is a few. I really don't want to name them.
Sure. Yeah, no. Because I get that. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I might get all the other charities jealous. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not sure how many are listening to my NASCAR podcast, but I totally get it. Let's go this route. You know, you've raised almost over $600,000.
Yep.
Can you do you know off the top of your head like what painting went for the most amount at an auction or anything like that?
Yes. The most one of my paintings has gone for is $17,500.
That's awesome.
Yep. Thank you. And it was a painting that I did of Henrik Zetterberg of the Red Wings.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
However, the painting that I've done, you know, I do my paintings a number of times before I retire them.
Okay.
I'll paint them 100 times before I stop.
Okay.
And I number them on the back.
Yeah.
I number them and I date them. And the person that I've painted the most, who has raised the most amount of money collectively, is definitely Kid Rock.
Oh, I bet. Local. Yeah. Detroit. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially in Metro Detroit, of course.
So,
you know, but when I'm out of town, it's always, they want me to paint whoever their local hometown hero is. You know, if I'm in New Jersey, it's always Bon Jovi or Bruce Springsteen that they want me to paint. You know, if I'm in Seattle, it's going to be, you know, it's one of the 90s Seattle bands,
sure.
You know?
Yeah. So one of my favorites that you've done was hanging for a long time at Patrick J's in Berkeley. I'm a diehard Prince fan. Bob and I are great friends. We've been to Prince concerts together. We've been to Minneapolis together to go to Prince's museum. Man, that was one of the coolest ones that I've ever seen you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about this amazing Dale Sr. painting that you did. Are you a fan of the sport at all? What sparked that painting of Sr.?
Well, you know, a number of things actually sparked it. I'm not really much into sports at all.
Sure.
But I'm into, see, I feel that the human body itself is a piece of artwork.
Sure.
So I might not be into sports, but when I see a sport, when I watch a sport, whether it's basketball or baseball or car racing or football or whatever, it doesn't even matter. I see it kind of differently. Other people are seeing it because they want their team to win, they want their person to win. They you know, maybe they got money on the game, they got money on the race, whatever. They're looking at it that way, but I'm looking at it like I see the form that this person's body is taking, or I see the colors on this person's uniform, or I see the way how the all the cars are making that left hand turn up on that angle, that 45 degree angle, and I just think it just looks cool, and I want to see what it'll look like in a painting.
That's awesome.
And yeah, you know, that's you know, I can see the image in my head, and now I want to translate it. I want other people to see it now. You know, if I'm watching a sporting event, no matter what, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm looking at. I could, a lot of times I really don't care who wins.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I do, you know, sure, of course, but I'm just looking at it differently. I'm seeing the motions. I'm seeing the emotions. I'm seeing the glisten of sweat. I'm seeing the way how the light is reflecting color off of one object and projecting that color slightly onto someone's face, you know, where now all of a sudden they have like a purple glow on one side of their face because it's being reflected off of someone's, you know, it's a color that's being reflected off of their uniform or whatever.
So your mind almost takes like a picture and it stays in there. And now you want to replicate that.
Yeah. I want to replicate it. And I want to interpret it in my own way.
Sure.
And, you know, and plus I want to get the action or the motion that I see. I want to see, you know, if I'm doing a painting of a baseball player hitting a ball, I want the person that's looking at the painting to be able to hear the sound of that ball being hit off of that bat.
Sure.
You know, if I'm doing a painting of the Kentucky Derby a number of years ago, and people have told me that when they look at this painting, that they've said that they can actually hear the hooves slamming down onto the dirt.
That's powerful, man. That's cool.
that's one of my goals. You know, yeah, that was one of my goals. I wanted you to hear the painting, you know, and I get that a lot.
So with you wanted to be able to hear those cars going 200 miles an hour when you saw his face.
Well, what I was trying to exude with that painting was not necessarily hearing the cars, but hearing the atmosphere, because obviously he's being talked it looks like the photo reference that I'm used. I think he's. It just looked to me like he's being interviewed or something.
Sure.
So, but when it comes to speed painting, though, things can kind of like be sometimes can be a little bit different. A lot of times, it can be a little difficult to try to invoke. A sound or something like that. You know, sometimes you just want to get just the image down and move on.
Sure. So where did that painting end up at?
Oh, I've still got it.
Oh, you still have it?
Yep.
Wow.
I still have it.
Maybe now we have something else to talk about at the end of this thing.
Yeah. I haven't quite decided what to do with it. See, I did that one on paper.
Okay.
And the reason why I did it on paper was because, well, for one thing, this I did it, you know, of course, this at the time, all the stores were closed, and I really couldn't. I was having a hard time getting supplies, you know.
Sure.
So rather than painting on black on a painting on a canvas, because when I'm painting on canvas, I got to paint the canvas black, and you know, plus the canvases they're not cheap; they're rather expensive.
Sure.
And basically, I ran out of black paint. You know, because the canvases, you know, I get them, they're white, and I paint them black.
Okay.
And I start off with a black canvas. And I ran out of black paint, so I started painting on black paper. And you know, I paint on black paper. Well, I didn't just start painting on black paper. What I did was I started painting in my Facebook videos, my Facebook video feeds on black paper.
Okay.
The ones that I do on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And so I started painting them on black paper. You know, it was just a little bit more convenient for me, and it was more for show, because I really wasn't selling the paintings on canvas. And I said to my manager, I said to her, you know, I'm going to start doing them on black paper for my Facebook video feeds. And you know, maybe we'll sell them on black paper for, you know, a lot cheaper than what we sell them for on canvas.
Yeah,
you know, because that was an issue.
Sure,
people, they want to buy my paintings, they can't afford it, but at the same time, I need to keep up with what they've been auctioning off for. You know, and they average about $2,000-$3,000 when they get auctioned off. That's what they average.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I also know that there's people, you know, people in general can't afford that.
Right.
And I get that, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So then I started painting them on black paper, and I made an announcement saying that, you know, these ones are practice for sometimes, because I do have to practice when I'm painting before I paint live for an event. So these ones are done. These ones are done on black paper, and we've been selling them for $250. The difference is that, you know, they're on paper rather than canvas.
Sure.
They're not signed or numbered on the back. I signed them on the front.
Right.
But they're not signed. Yeah. You know, they're not numbered on the back. And they're not limited. You know, the canvas ones, like I said earlier, when I paint them on canvas, they limit them to 100 before I stop. The ones on paper, there's no limit to them at all. It's just practice. So there's an exclusivity when they're being painted on canvas, whereas with the ones that are on paper, there is no exclusivity other than the fact that, you know, I'm the only one that can paint them.
Sure. Wow, man, that's crazy. So obviously with like COVID and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm assuming things are on hold. Like, do you've got like a date upcoming that you might potentially be at something, or are things pretty open for the rest of the year because of the unknown?
Yeah, everything's open. I mean, I had a really busy spring, summer, and fall already booked.
Sure.
And lined up for me. And every single event canceled with the weekend of
March 13th.
I think March 3rd or the 15th, whatever. Yep, yeah, yep, that whole yep. that weekend, everything shut down.
Yep,
everything shut down.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so you know, people have been contacting me and getting me to do fundraisers that are, you know, that they're doing online, and you know, but it's just not. It just doesn't. You know, they still, you know, they raise a little bit of money. But it's just not the same. They don't.
Yeah.
No.
When you're in an atmosphere with, you know, 200 to 500 people, whatever, pocketbooks are a little bit more generous when everyone's out having a good time celebrating the cause versus just sitting in home, I bet.
Exactly. Everyone's having fun. They're having drinks. They're, you know, mingling with friends, meeting new friends, you know, the whole thing, the whole kibosh.
Absolutely.
So,
Dave, where can everybody follow you on social media? What's the YouTube page? What's the Twitter account? All that good stuff.
Everything is Dave Santia. My Facebook is Dave Santia. My Instagram, Twitter are both Dave Santia. And my website is davesantia.com.
Awesome.
So I try to keep everything uniform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hang on the line just a minute. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Dave for calling in the show. Dave, great to talk with you. And hopefully
likewise.
Look forward to seeing you at a local event here really soon in Metro Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, great to talk to Dave there. Hope you enjoyed some of those stories. And definitely, if you are a Michigan local, make sure you go check Dave out once things get back to normal and he's able to get back to these charities. His paintings are just incredible. You've probably seen the one he did as senior and all that good stuff. So make sure you check that out for sure. All right, now back to our regular scheduled programming. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, you can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, along with Brian Newdorf, keeping us all up to date on what's been a very active weather situation post-return to racing. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well, and yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. Kind of excited because the governor announced that there is the potential for return to universities, which means there's the potential of the return of college football in the fall. So,
yeah, but wasn't that potential really kind of always there? Or are they just now saying, okay, officially it's under consideration? And I'm not diminishing this.
Yes, no, they have made the official announcement that it is the official possibility that they may return. So, no, I'm not diminishing it either. But, yes, it's now official that there could be the return of in-school sessions, K through 12, grade school, universities, and all that good stuff. So, have a little fun with that oxymoron there. But, yes, no, it is potential.
So isn't it officially potential then that they don't return?
It's a good possibility.
Yes, okay, just checking. Just checking how we're reading this book.
Yes, yes. Well, man, hey, 4th of July coming up here. Any plans this weekend?
I might go out with my neighbors. A couple guys moved up here from Houston with me to hang out. Just go see them and maybe some people I used to work with. Yeah, just honestly. Well, maybe I'll give a little bit of a preview. Saturday may be a little less busy than Sunday will for me.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good deal. Good deal. We'll get to that in a minute here.
Yes.
Listen, let's. It was funny because last week when Newdorf was on, he had to explain what in the world happened to let us race at Talladega. Well, what in the world happened to let us race at Pocono this weekend?
Here's one thing, and I was talking to a couple of people about this. I don't know the geography around there. I have never seen a shower so rapidly dissipate within 2 miles of the track.
That's crazy. That's that vortex, though, man. That's what that is.
But we weren't racing. But we weren't racing then. I would take that, except we weren't racing then. Because, honestly, we were watching that storm, a very heavy storm, come in. And I'm talking, I'm posting about it. We're talking about it. And I was like, looking at it, and I was like, this thing's just weakening, weakening, weakening. And it's such a – so much sure if it's the mountains, if there are mountains to the northwest, it's a mountainous region. There is terrain. I'm not sure if it was a terrain effect, but yeah, no, I've never seen that before, and we were fortunate. And nobody said it was bad forecast because we called for showers and
sure.
We had what, 57 minute delay, and then lightning, and then sunset. And yeah, no, I honestly don't know. Yeah, with Talladega, it was a larger scale thing where we could see the dry air coming in. And I posted maps about this. This is just such a small scale thing. It just weakened. And yeah, for as much as the weather gods looked down and laughed at NASCAR and said, you know what, I want to give you guys a break and let you guys finish.
That's hey, we'll take it. It worked out for us. Triple header. That was cool. Kind of killed the day to a little degree, but that's all right. As long, for the one off that's going to happen ever, it was well worth making sure that able to dial in for three races in one day for sure.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining. I loved having racing. I loved getting, I actually set an alarm to get up to watch because here it was 8:30
start. I did too, because there was no way I was going to be up that early on my own on Sunday.
Right.
So yes, needed to definitely make sure that there was an alarm set to get up and, fall out of bed for that one for sure.
And I'm not looking for sympathy real quick. That was a long day. I mean,
for people who
I mean, people who watch, okay, that was a long day, but you're reporting and observing and posting. So you're a little less busy than, say, me and Pocris horse night.
Yes.
But that was a long day.
It was. It was 5 o'clock dinner. I did overtime that day. I just didn't get paid for it.
Yeah. Well, then you talk about somebody like Striegel or Moody. Or anybody on who's doing corn reporting for MRN, they did all three races.
Yes, yeah, that's strenuous on the voice to do all that too, for sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. Do you want to do the weather for Indy, or do you want to talk lap traffic fantasy?
Let's talk lap traffic fantasy.
All right, lap traffic fantasy. So, we go weeks. Head to head, flip flopping back and forth. Then you take a 5-3 lead, and now. You two have forced me. Now I got to keep track of ties between you two. You had Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, Daniel Hemric, and Austin Hill. Newdorf had Kyle Busch, Truex, Cindric, and Enfinger, and somehow you both managed to score 137 points. So now it's 5-3-1 in the head-to-head battle. I feel like that's a Detroit Lions season like in a nutshell right there.
Now, that'd be 3-5-1, but I was actually thinking the exact same thing. That is a very Lion-esque record.
Absolutely. So you're both tied to start segment two, but you have a 55-point cushion in the overall standings there with him. So nice job. Who are you looking at this week in the LT Fantasy?
I want to ask a quick question first. Where did that, and I've not looked at the website, so I'm going blind on this one.
Yes.
Where did that rank for segment two? Was 137 mediocre, towards the top, towards the bottom?
Well, I tell you what, why don't you start with the Indy weather, and I will look that up real quick for you.
Perfect. Independence Day, Saturday, July 4th, the Xfinity race will be on NBCSN, 3 o'clock start Eastern Daylight. Forecast is partly cloudy skies, hot, humid, 92 for the high, 71 for the morning low. Going on to Sunday, July the 5th, Cup race, NBC. And of course, we have a 4 o'clock start. Variably cloudy skies, PM showers and thunderstorms, high of 91, low of 73, again, humid.
Excellent. Excellent. So not too bad. We've had worse.
No, we've had worse, and this is scattered. If even that, I'm putting it in. It's like a 20-30% chance of showers, but they will be later afternoon, as the way they're timing out right now. Always subject to change this far out, but it just seems like we can't get a weekend without
something
weather. Something, yes.
All right. 137 points to start off segment two has you, Newdorf, and my uncle tied in 11th place.
Oh, so not nearly as bad as I was in segment one.
No, not at all.
And then who won this week?
I won this week.
I know you did. I did see that.
It's crazy. Like, I didn't believe it at first. Like, I was, of course, the MOATF podcast called me out on it on a DM and Twitter. But the thing is, it's all legit because all anyone's got to do is go back and listen to the Tuesday show and they'll know my pick. So it's not, there's no way that I flubbed this in any way. It is a legit Brandon Crowd, week high, and the leader of segment two. So I'm talking about it now because I'm flabbergasted, and I'm going to do the fantasy segment here in just a minute.
I was going to say, you got to call yourself.
I know. I reached out to the guy that came in second place for the week high, and he was able to work. So we're going to get Brad Carnes on here to make picks with me. I know. I thought about getting all cocky and just doing it with myself, and I'm like, it's not like I've ever done that before where I've like been able to maintain 2 weeks in a row. So it'll probably change next week. So I didn't want to get too cocky there.
Okay. So, well, that's good. That's a good start for you.
Absolutely. It's a great start. It's only down from here. So, all right. Well, that is excellent, sir. Hopefully not a – it looks pretty good racing-wise there. I hope you have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds really good. Have a great 4th, and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, man. You too. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
See ya. Bye. All right, Lab Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Aaron. But now – it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. I'm going to just get rolling with it. My lucky dog of the race weekend, and I've got three. It's the fans. It's NASCAR. And, of course, it's Kevin Harvick. My lap down is the word of the day, cautions. Let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner. Truck Series Edition, Lucky Dog, Brandon Jones. Lap Down, Matt Crafton. Scott's Sunday Cup Edition, Lucky Dog, Hamlin. About the only Toyota not wadded up in all four races. Lap Down, Kyle. No practice racing doesn't do him favors. Gets the car right for today and then in the scrap metal bin. Scott's overall for the weekend, Lucky Dog, oil dry supplier for Pocono. That's a good one. I like that, sir. Lap down is Joe Gibbs Racing and KBM. Damn near every vehicle in a crash, along with Scott's fantasy picks, finished 36th, 40th, 6th, and 38th. Yeah, not your best effort there, sir. All right, CJ at CJ LaPearl's Lucky Dog goes to the closer, Kevin Harvick, breaking his Pocono winless streak. Lap down. See, I didn't even talk about that. How about that? 38 starts before he finally gets his win. Absolutely incredible there. Lap down HMS with a 14th, 21st, 25th, and 27th place finish. Yeah, that's a way to put it in perspective there. Sunday for CJ, Eric Jones is the lucky dog with a top five out of nowhere. Lap down Blaney, who led some laps and finished as lap traffic. I like that. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, lucky dog. Kevin Harvick plays the chess match to perfection. No lap down. Just happy the rain stayed away, and we saw a great race. I'm with you there. Rowdy Sunday edition, lucky dog goes to the 11 team. They mildly adjusted their strategy from the first race to pull off the victory. A lap down, still got nothing. Great weekend. Let's do it again. Man, just how cool is that, that both Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin finished 1-2 both races. I think that's cool from the narrative of the Pocono double, that you had two guys to watch all weekend. The two best cars all weekend each came away with a victory. I think that's very cool from the storyline perspective. Matt at Camper News, lucky dog, Kevin Harvick having a tough race and the team getting the car right in the win. Lap down, not being able to have fans this weekend for a big weekend in the Cup Series. Matt was looking forward to spending the weekend at Pocono. Colin at Colin underscore with underscore cars. Lucky dog goes to the rain because there was literally racing all day on Sunday. Lap down has to be the rain, but after going a lap down, the caution flag comes out. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, a lucky dog Harvick, great strategy, finally wins at Pocono. Lap down, HMS looked like they struggled. Jess a Sunday picks, lucky dog, the weather, it's been a pain, but at least Mother Nature's letting us finish them. Lap down, Kyle Busch, just not his season. Jess, to that, I'm just going to say yet, because Kyle Busch ain't going away. That's for sure. All right, got one call for you on the Wave Around Hotline this week. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lap Traffic Nation? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline. That's Racing Chance, the 20% calling in. Pocono Double Edition. Many people, I don't know how the second Pocono race is going to be received yet. Many people didn't quite enjoy the first Cup race of Pocono. I'm going to dissent on that a little bit because I really didn't think it was that bad of a race. I was really fascinated by the way all of the strategies played out, and the same can be said for the second Pocono race. The two Cup races were kind of similar, and then the Xfinity and Truck races were, kind of chaotic, which in its own way, it was still kind of fun to watch, I thought. I really do think we saw four good races this weekend. I'm glad Pocono is doing the doubleheader. I hope they continue to do the doubleheader because I think number one schedule needs to be condensed. I'm short, but condensed. And I don't think we really need to take two trips out to Pocono 6 weeks apart in the middle of the summer. So I got to give the fans the lucky dog this week. I mean, we saw four races. Probably they're going to say half of them were good. I don't think many people are going to love the cup races, but, you know, it is what it is. Currently, I am praying to the tech gods because I don't like Dennis at all. I think Dennis is the biggest POS on the circuit right now. So I'm praying to the tech gods, and I'm sure you are right now, too, praying to the tech gods, even though when this episode comes out and when this voicemail is actually listened to, which my people listen to in the first place, I don't know. But when they listen to it, we'll know that Dennis will probably have to have an inspection. So that's that. I think next weekend is the Brickyard. I really can't keep track of the schedule sometimes. I think it is. Excited for the IndyCar Xfinity doubleheader on the road course. And hopefully Cup puts on a good show on the rectangle. Lap down, Dennis Hamlin. Have a good week, everybody.
And you can't see it. Yep, Dennis passed inspection, so there's that. But hey, listen, you know, as far as the double and Pocono getting it and the whole 6 weeks apart thing and condensing the schedule. So that's obviously, I think, the goal here with all that, right? You know, and to go along with that, you know, as much as me being biased, like to go out to MIS twice a year, in the grand scheme of things, you know, Michigan and Pocono, very similar. They both got races June and August, right? You know, anywhere's between 7 to 9 weeks apart on the schedule there, back to back. And at places that aren't selling out like they used to, right, that those are the types of races and tracks that I think this whole little exercise was put into place for to see. So, you know, I could very well see Michigan getting a double to condense, you know, because of the fact of, hey, you know, do we need to go there, you know, 7 weeks apart, 8 weeks apart, whatever it ends up being there. So I'm with you there. Appreciate you, brother. Have a great 4th of July, all that good stuff. That's going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and a Lap Down Picks. And right now, it is time to talk a little lap traffic fantasy. Someone over here might be a little excited. Get to that here in just a second. Just a reminder, get your picks in by Friday midnight. Keep the Twitter interaction going. Man, segment two, first two cup races are in the book. Whenever the schedule comes out, we'll know when the segment two is going to end once we get to the 26th cup race. No one swept the weekend, but did have a handful of players who took Brandon Jones in the truck. Obviously, a handful took Chase Briscoe. That was a popular pick in Xfinity. Only two or three people took Kevin Harvick in race one, and obviously a handful of people took Denny Hamlin across both races there. Week high with picks of Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain, and Austin Hill, earning an impressive score of 168 points is some guy by the name of the Professor Brandon Crowd. Can you believe it? Because I sure as hell can't. I about fell over when I hit the sort button on the Excel spreadsheet to see that I got week high. Trust me, don't get worried about me. Because there's only one way to go, and that's down for me. So there's that. So let's get to. We got now. That's right, segment two. So we got the top 10 in standings for segment two, and we've got the cumulative standings that will set the playoff grid here once we get to the playoffs. So top 10 standings, segment two. I'm just going to drag this out, let it soak in for a minute. In first place is me. That's right, with 168 points. In second place is Brad Carnes with 163. In third is Chad Robb. Fourth is Matt Camper. Two-way tie for fifth, Jeff Gluck, Joe Hewson with 153. Two-way tie in sixth, Jason Dickus, John King. Two-way tie in seventh, Kent Dolphy, Tony Salt. Eighth is Lisa Chinana. Ninth, Stephanie Burgess, I think. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And wrapping up the top 10 is Paul Hollenbeck. Now, to where it counts, over to the cumulative standings. In first place is Joe Hewson. Second is Jess Rose. Third, Chad Robb. Fourth is Kent Dolphy. Fifth is Richard Craven. Sixth is Matt Camper. Seventh is David James. Eighth is Toby Christie. Ninth is Mr. Andrew Cancian. In 10th is my uncle. And 11th is Brian Hall. 12th, Crystal Smoke. Two-way tie for 13th, Brent Morris and Mick Rose. 14th is Jason Dickus. 15th is Lisa Chinana. And a two-way tie in 16th between John and Stephanie. So those ties will all get sorted out. But right now, those are the ones fighting for the playoffs. Now, here's the even more impressive part is I finished segment one in 27th, cumulative. And now I am 19th. I am coming for a playoff spot. Man, all right, sorry. I got a little overexcited there. But if you guys have been playing the Lap Trantasy for a while here, you know that I am never anywhere talked about. So I wanted to take that all in there for a minute. So now let's get the second week high, because I had week high, on the line to make some picks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. I think he's been on a time or two before. You might have, you might recognize the name from some of the listener call-in shows. He had the second week high because I still can't believe I had the week high. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Bradley Carnes. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome, man. It's Tuesday night, podcast night. Things are good, Matt. What did you think of the Pocono Double?
Man, I loved it. I'm of the unpopular opinion that Pocono does deserve two dates. I love Pocono. It's a different track, and I'm a little biased because I'm a Harvick fan, and you got a 1-2 finish.
So. Well, hey, man, you know I'm a diehard Harvick fan, so yeah, I was right there. I was bummed that he didn't pull off the double win, but my checking account was happy because I only got to get one die cast instead of two. And then he had to come out with an amazing paint scheme for this weekend at Indy, and I'm like, oh, come on, man, you're killing me.
Oh, I'm excited about that one. That one looks really, really cool.
I got real cocky. I don't know if you saw it, but I put out on social media that, well, I'm not going to pre-order this one. I'm going to wait and pre-order the raced win version on Sunday. So that's my thoughts.
Let's hope so.
Yes, absolutely. All right, man. What do you say? You ready to make some picks?
Absolutely.
All right, Lap Traffic Fantasy, we are headed to the Bricks, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're out of 26 cup races. Would you believe that Chevy has won 17 times, and they won 12 in a row from 2004 until 2014. Since then, it's been Kyle Busch with two wins, Casey Kane in a Chevy, who obviously doesn't run the series anymore, Brad Kay and Kevin Harvick. If I had to guess, I'd expect to see heavy picks for four drivers this weekend. It's extra challenging because we do not know what the rest of the schedule is going to look like, which makes it hard to plan out your picks. That said, this weekend's pass winner Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick have back-to-back top tens, with Harvick picking up the win last year. Denny has yet to win at Indy. Clint Bowyer, who picked up back-to-back top tens at Pocono, also has back-to-back top tens at Indy. And here's a surprise for you. Ryan Newman is the only other driver to have back-to-back top tens at Indy. Who gets to kiss the bricks? We'll find out this weekend, but first, it's time for our picks. Bradman, we'll start with you. Who are you going with for the Xfinity Series?
I think I'm going to go with the 22 of Austin Cindric.
I like that pick. I've used him quite a bit, and he's favored well. Fortunately, you don't have to worry about the lap traffic curse, as I'm going with Xfinity veteran Justin Allgaier this weekend at Indy. Let's move over to the Cup race, the big dance. Who do you have for the Cup race at Indy?
I'm going to go with the old four. I don't want to jinx them, but it's hard to go against them at Indy, especially after last year with this package. I can't get it done.
Excellent. I like the four that would pick there. You're safe for me this weekend. I think Kyle Busch had the most atrocious weekend at Pocono between his finishes, his trucks, all that stuff. So I'm looking for Kyle Busch to rebound this weekend. So I'm going with Kyle Busch this weekend. Hey, man, any plans for the 4th of July?
I'm going to do a little fishing on Saturday and record the Xfinity race. Camp Saturday night and be home before the race Sunday.
Absolutely. That sounds absolutely all-American as you could get, man. I hope you have a great time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care, man. Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. See ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 189 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Big thanks to Greg from Off Access Paint, Dave Santia, Aaron Studwell, and Bradley Carnes for calling in today. Next week, I'm still working on something, so we'll see what's going on. Hope you all have a great 4th of July. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!